Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we do have the scriptures, that each of us can hold a Bible in our hands without fear of persecution. We pray, Lord, that in the name of Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will open up your scriptures to us today so that we will gain understanding, but also recognize those areas of neglect or perhaps sin with which we need to deal, those bad habits we've picked up. But also help us to instill good habits which bring us life and life in all its fullness. We ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. So I should explain for those who are visiting that as a church we are currently working through the holy habits in order that we may embed the habits which help us to become more mature in our faith and follow Christ more closely, and that our first holy habit is on biblical teaching. I'm going to be quoting from a number of different versions of the Bible today rather than today's New International Version, which is in our pews, partly because they use slightly different words or different phrasing, and to hear them in more than one version can really help with our understanding. But I suspect you'll find it helpful if you do have your pew Bibles open at Colossians 3, which is on page 1119, page 1119. First, I'm going to give you a little background information. So Paul had not set up the church in Colossae, but in this letter he gives the impression that the believers are basically faithful to his message, albeit that right faith has been threatened by the wrong teachings of unidentified persons. Having set out his credentials earlier in the letter, he's gone on to set out his belief in the supremacy of Christ, and then the fullness of life that we find in Christ, before warning against being deceived by others. As I said in last week's sermon, which I recognised was at the 9 o'clock, but which you can hear if you want to on our website, this is one of the reasons that it is important that we know our scriptures, so that we cannot have others bamboozle us with false teaching. And much of that ties in with our key verse last week from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God can be equipped for every good work. Having laid out his doctrine, his beliefs in the first two chapters of Colossians, in chapter 3 Paul starts by setting out the new aims for this new life we have in Christ. If we've been raised to new life with Christ, particularly through baptism as well, then in Paul's view, the way we live our life should be different, and therefore our aims in life will be different. We've just baptized Ben, and the liturgy has reminded us that we become a Christian by dying to self and rising a new creation, with a worldview that is focused on the eternal perspective. We are to be heavenly minded, seeing what God is doing in the world to further his kingdom and joining in. Or as the beginning of Colossians 3 says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, not the things of earth. We are to see others through God's eyes and follow Christ's path, his ways, teaching, and example, rather than following our human instinct to put ourselves first. I want to give you a practical demonstration of what I'm going to say, so could I have my volunteer, please? This is the lovely cat. Quick round of applause. Cat, could I ask you, please, to put on this full-length white robe? While she's doing that, can I remind you that traditionally at baptism, people put on full-length white robes to represent clothing themselves with Christ. And I had hoped to have a lovely photo of my grandfather in a christening robe, and the train of it was down to the floor when my great-grandmother held him. So So it seems appropriate to think of ourselves donning a white robe as we clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. I don't know if you remember the "What Would Jesus Do?" bracelets, but there was an element of putting something on with that. Wearing a long white robe all the time would be a little impractical, but the WWJD bracelet was supposed to remind you, when you caught a glimpse of it, that you were a representative of Christ to the wider world, and that you therefore needed to behave in a way that brought honour rather than dishonour to Christ's name. Oh. Yeah, I'll come back here so everybody can see you.
Yes,
so cats put on this robe without taking anything off first. Does that work? No. So, Kat, please could you remove those things which are inappropriate before putting your white robe of ten... See, I think you might have to help her again. Of putting on your white robe of tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. None of us, if you think about it, if we were putting on new or clean clothes, would do so without first having a bath or a shower. You wouldn't come in covered in mud from a walk with the dog and put on clean clothes, would you? No. So it makes sense to ensure that we are first clean before we put something on. Or as verses 7 to 10 of chapter 3 says, "These are the ways you once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self." So you've stripped off the old self and put on the new self. Yeah. It's better, isn't it? But is it quite right? Are we seeing just the white robe of purity here? No. So we can still see that collar, can't we, really? There's just still a glimpse of that human side showing through. Would you mind, sorry, removing that as well? Thank you. As Colossians 1, 21 to 23 says, "And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard." Christ wants to be able to present us all as holy and blameless. And because he died for our sins, we are forgiven when we truly repent. So that collar was just a bit too much, really. That's so much better, isn't it? Well done, thank you. You could sit down now if you like. Thank you. Are you feeling quite warm after that workout? Now, yeah, I wouldn't bother putting on all those clothes. Thank you very much, Kat. The thing is that none of us, when we become a Christian, are going to get it entirely right. We're not magically transformed when we each make that decision to follow Christ so that we never sin again. There will be times when we get angry, when we say or think nasty things about someone else, when we slander others or say things that are not wholesome. And those things will show from time to time because we're works in progress. It's a bit like that collar of cats showing above the white gown that Christ longs to dress us in. Christ has not yet finished his transforming work within us, and that won't happen until we see him face to face and are transformed by his glory. I don't know about you, but those times I show those things that are not holy and blameless are when I'm tired or in pain or face too many stresses which I haven't had the time to deal with. It's so much easier to be good and to live a godly life when we're well rested, when there's nobody else around to upset us, when everything goes really smoothly. But that's not real life, is it? But there is something we can do. Each time we do something that's wrong and God pricks our conscience, we can repent of it then. And we can make that decision to finish the day, each day, by reviewing the things that we have done wrong and repenting of them. We can each make that conscious decision to start each day by donning that garment of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. We can each decide to forgive those who have hurt us and try to seek reconciliation. That is what following Christ is. It's a conscious decision each day and throughout each day. And sometimes our human nature, which is so ingrained, shows through. The human nature that seeks to justify our bad behaviour or reacts in a protective way rather than in the way Jesus modelled for us, Jesus taught us. We will never be able to perfectly follow Christ's teaching and allow him to continue his transforming work within us if we don't know him and his ways. And that is why reading and knowing the scriptures and allowing them to sink into us until we are imbued with them is so important. Verse 10 says, "Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him." If we only know Christ's ways superficially, we don't stand a chance of being changed and of being able to appear before God as holy and blameless. And if we cannot appear, at least some of the time, in our white gown, how can we truly represent Christ? How can we bring honour to his name? There will be times that we mess up, that a bit of our human or fleshly ways shows, but we are then to repent, turn away from the wrong way of doing things, and try to put right what we can. And we are all to forgive one another. I'm going to read from verse 13. "Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its fullness fill your lives." When we read scripture, we are motivated and encouraged to be the best that we can be, to fulfill our God-given potential. When we know scripture well, we have before us the image in which we were created, which is God, and also the example of how it is possible to live the life of a human in the image of God. As I said earlier, God doesn't immediately transform us. Instead, through prayer and scripture and being in his presence, he very gently brings to us the next thing that needs to be dealt with, the next bad habit or sin that needs to find his healing and wholeness so that we can be what he created us to be. If he showed us all our flaws in one fell swoop, I don't think we'd be able to cope. But his timing is perfect, and he brings before us one or two things at a time and seeks to help us through the power of the Holy Spirit to exchange those bad habits and ways of acting and reacting with those right ways of being and behaving. But we need to be prepared to be honest with ourselves, to be prepared to accept what he shows us, that next area that needs to be brought out of darkness, that needs to be confessed and dealt with, because otherwise he cannot continue his transforming work within us. If we stand there and say, "I'm perfect as I am," we're lying to ourselves. And that's partly why it's good to be within a church. We need to be surrounded by others who can gently correct a wrong mindset. Or as it says in verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom." When we're in a church, hearing, reading, singing, or sharing scripture, we hold up God's love, God's glory, which is like a mirror which enables one another to see ourselves as we are. The problem perhaps in the past has been that some people didn't know the scriptures well, and instead of trying to help and encourage one another, use scripture to batter or belittle or control. And so it's no wonder that some now consider the church to be hypocritical in expecting a level of living in others whilst not living it ourselves. We cannot be telling wider society that that is how they ought to behave, particularly when we ourselves have so much dirty washing. Instead, we should each be examining ourselves and holding ourselves to high standards, and with the grace of God living up to them and clothing ourselves in love, whilst also within the church family, helping and encouraging one another to be God's creations through knowing the scriptures well and gently teaching one another. But there's far more to being an active part of the church, as verse 16 continues. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Over the last year, we usually in this service spend times while parents take their children down to the orchard, reflecting on where we have seen God at work in the past week, or where we found God's blessing. Once we've started trying to see where God is at work, we become far more aware of all that he is doing. Once we're on the lookout to see blessings, we notice them more readily. I read something this week which said something like, in a society that has you counting your money, your kilos, calories, and steps, why not be a rebel and count your blessings instead? Perhaps I need to take my Fitbit off. Everyone would be far happier if instead of counting what was missing or had been lost or needed to be got rid of, they instead counted and focused on their blessings. And I know that I've read statistics that prove that to be the case. But also in church, we sing praise to God, whether in psalms, hymns, or spiritual songs, and it makes such a difference. The physical act of singing with others has been shown to be hugely beneficial to well-being. I think Gareth Malone said that. I think our own Libby has said that as well. But perhaps she's not as widely known as Gareth Malone. Okay, thanks, Kim. But the singing of praise to God, particularly when we do it together, refreshes and revives us mentally, physically, and spiritually, which is why being part of the church family is so great. So today we welcome Ben, who's just disappeared out to the crash again, through baptism into our church family. And as a church family, we will be helping to support Claire and Tom as they bring up their boys to know Christ, but also to help and encourage and support one another through knowing the scriptures and being soaked in them, so that we can help each other to fulfill our God-given potential and become all that we were created to be. I'm going to close with the last couple of verses of our reading, so please let them sink in. Let the message about Christ, in all its richness, fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen.